Be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text is the gospel reading, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It always gets me when we begin the first Sunday of Advent how odd or awkward it feels that we all of a sudden start Advent by Palm Sunday. Right? But that's how it is, and it's there for a good reason, you see. It's by design. It's to cause us to think of why this babe of Bethlehem, this Lamb of God, is to come. Luke's account of Jesus' temple entry, or triumphal entry, stands between two harsh, very harsh judgment texts in Luke's gospel, the parable of the minas, and Jesus foretelling the destruction of the temple and then his cleansing of the temple. In between these two, he places the multitude of the disciples proclaiming Jesus to be king as he's coming into Jerusalem to blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It seems for Luke, the triumphal entry of Jesus harkens back to the birth announcement by the angels to the shepherds in the fields keeping watch. As this Advent season begins by joining us with that Christmas beautiful text that we love, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. You see, for the Christian, it is necessary to make the connection that the peace and joy of the birth of the Virgin Son are won by Jerusalem's cross, as Jesus will be welcomed either in peace and joy or hate, and that hate will lead to his crucifixion. Now, the season of Advent has been celebrated by the Christian church since the 6th century, as the church's new year begins today. Everybody stay up till midnight? Me neither. But you see, the season of Advent, and so the purple pearments come out, and the Advent wreath is lit, and the hymn of praise or the glory in excelsia is omitted from the divine service to set a more subdued tone for our weekly worship. Advent is a little season of Lent, if you will. It is intended to be a period in which the church, that is God's people gathered around his word and receiving his sacraments, are made ready for the Lord's return, and if he delays, for his historic celebration of his birth. So today, the season of Advent calls the church out of the glitz and the glamour of the sappy, consumer-driven Christmas to slow down, to reflect on why the coming Christ child is born, and with repentant then hearts and minds, prepare ourselves for the coming of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Despite our sinful nature's best efforts to avoid the manger and cross connection, many will feel something is missing from their Christmas celebration, and it's not their family or the lack of friends or the lack of friends that they're talking about. It's odd how believers and unbelievers will have a tree, the lights, the presents, the family, and the friends, but still have an empty feeling at this time of year. Something's missing, or better yet, someone, to be more precise. As the Christmas, which brings peace and joy, is ignored and replaced with the stress of finding the perfect gift, receiving just what I want, and complaining about how all this is too much work for me or anybody else. So we might be asking, how could God be at peace with us? How could he be at peace with a world that ignores him and takes his blessings for granted? How could he be at peace with a world that blatantly ignores his will? How could God be at peace with a world that has taken the celebration of the birth of his only begotten Son and turned it into just another reason for a party, to eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die kind of mentality. How could God be at peace with me, a sinner? Now, if we are to fix what's missing from Christmas, we must rediscover the season of Advent. Listen for the repentant call in the Advent hymns. Today you heard, "By your mighty power make whole all our ills of flesh and soul." Next week you'll hear, "Hark a thrilling voice is sounding, Christ is near." We hear it say, "Cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day." Christ is near. Ills of flesh and soul. Cast away the works of darkness. Look at your own lives. And turn once more away from sin. Turn once more from your flesh. Think about your life, your hopes, your dreams, what you are looking forward to, what you are planning for. Is your heart set merely on the things of the world, on toys and trips, or on being a stable financial future, possibly? What do you want out of life? Is it even God-pleasing at all? Are you thinking of a life to come, or are you setting your sight only on the things of this world? Are you putting your money into things that to please yourself, or are you investing your time focused on eternal things? And no, I'm not calling for you to be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. But we must remember we are in the world, not of the world. The season of Advent is a time to remember that the things of this world are already passing away. A time to set our hearts once more upon things above instead of things below. A time to look at the child who came to die. A time to crucify our sinful passions in our baptism, which joins us to Jesus, not only his death and resurrection, but even his circumcision at his eighth day. As Paul says, that baptism replaces circumcision, a circumcision not made with human hands. Time to look at a child who came to die for us. For only in the coming King's death and resurrection can we have lasting peace and joy. I didn't mention this in first service, but it is interesting to think about. I think it's more overlooked by most than I care to think about. But it hit me a number of years ago. You want proof that Jesus is God? Look at the text. They bring out a colt, a donkey's colt, that no one had sat on. And then Jesus sits on them. Now, I don't know in Wisconsin how many of you have ridden horses before. But if you've ever tried to get on one that's never been sat on before, you're going to have some pain. You're going to be very uncomfortable. But here is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the God of all creation, and he sets down on a colt, the foal of a donkey, that's never been set on before, and he rides him as if he had been broken and prepared for this event. There is evidence, beautiful evidence, of his authority over all things created. And so we join our voices and we proclaim as the people did that day, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Otherwise, he will have the rocks sing out on the last day if you don't. For this Lord comes, you see, to die for our sins. We remember that we have been baptized into the name of the Lord, and returning to our baptism, we renounce once more the devil and all his works and our own sinful ways. And we don't simply cry out against evil in this world. We repent of our evil in our own hearts. We recognize the troubles we have caused, the damage we have done, the friends we have hurt, and the responsibilities we have not met. And yet, to this confession, God sends His called servants to declare to you today, your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. So those who sing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we join in rejoicing, for we have his name given to us. And in faith, we then take up our cross and we follow him by hearing his word and by receiving his gifts, his body and blood. And so we must set our face towards this Advent season as our Lord sets his face toward Jerusalem, as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' manger, cross, and empty tomb. For the world, Christmas is just a big game of pretend. Much like my grandchildren who love to pretend they're a Powerpuff Girl and yes, they started watching that old cartoon, or Paw Patrol. I think they like Marshall. Pretending that they could possibly, you know, we pretend in this world that we could create a peaceful world on its own. I think we sang that hymn in the 70s, I'd like to teach the world to sing. And we just gave them a Coke and told them to smile and everything would feel better. But it doesn't exist. At best, it offers a temporary peace and a fake joy. But for the Christian, Christmas is life itself. Therefore, in this season of Advent, let us prepare our hearts once more for our Lord's coming. Let us cast away the works of darkness and be adorned with every good work and with acts of charity and generosity towards our neighbors. Let us forgive as we have been forgiven. Let us embrace the child who came to embrace us. And let us offer up our lives as a gift to the one who came to offer his life as the gift for our salvation. No wonder the disciples will echo the angels. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace on earth and glory in the highest. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.